one of the biggest shocks in American political history, Donald J. Trump will become the next president of the United States. Trump defied all expectations from the very start of his campaign more than a year ago. Very few thought that he would actually run, then he did. Few thought he would climb in the polls, and he did that as well. They said he wouldn't win any primaries, he did. And then they said he wouldn't win the Republican nomination, and he did that as well. Finally, they said that there was no way he could compete for, let alone win the election. Now he is President-elect Trump. Joining me in the studio is political commentator Alex Kane. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Vinny.
A lot of big promises, big pledges in that speech we've just heard, but a lot of people might say, well, what are they all based on?
They're based on nothing at the minute, because I think, a bit like Nigel Farage on Brexit morning, I'm not sure that Trump thought he was going to win. I think he wanted to shake up the Republican Party. I think he wanted to shake up the political establishment. I think he wanted to do a lot of profiling for himself. He's now landed with a job. He has no idea what he's going to do. I was quite clear when you looked at the lineup beside him on the platform this morning, most of them had no idea what they were going to do either.
Surely he went into this hoping to win. If you're going into a game like this, because the race for the White House must be one of the most grueling things you could do. That the end goal must have always been to get there, so you would think that there will be some kind of plan for what will happen next.
I'm not convinced of that, Vinny. I'm not sure. I think when he came down that escalator in June 2015 and announced he was going to stand for the presidency, I think he had other things going on in his mind. I think he wanted to become a president. I think he would actually have quite liked a job if someone else, some other Republican, had won it. And then he found himself in this bizarre situation that 16 candidates against him, and one by one by one they all fell off the perch. And then he suddenly finds himself not only the GOP candidate, he suddenly finds himself beating Clinton, when his own people were telling him, as recently as 2 weeks ago, that we're probably not. And right at the beginning of last night, they were saying it would take a miracle for us to win.
Well, that's the polls again getting it wrong, but we'll come to that later on. What are your thoughts on his vice now, Mike Pence? Would you say he's quite a competent politician? Will he be the one supporting him throughout this?
The odd thing is that Pence didn't get a mention during Trump's thank you speech. He thanked just about everyone. I mean, he didn't thank the caterers, but he totally forgot about the man who was
He did introduce him when he came on the stage.
So. But he looked, maybe he was tired, but he looked shocked as well. It was the same look that Michael Gove and Boris Johnson had that morning. How did we get here? His wife, I mean, even when he was trying to introduce her, it's just like, what are we all doing here? Pence is a good man in many ways, but Trump is not the sort of guy that delegates you. His whole campaign, his whole business career, his whole whatever it was, The Apprentice, there's no sign of Donald ever saying, hey, you come and share the load here. That's not his style.
You stayed up all night to watch this, so it's clear.
I am a sad soul, Vinny, I did, yes.
Well, I think a lot of people might have done the same. If you did, 0303 80 55 55. Let's hear from US-based Trump supporter, senior writer for the conservative website RedAlertPolitics.com. It's Ryan Gerdersky. Good morning, Ryan.
Good night, but yeah, good morning.
You must be getting ready for bed. Ryan, your thoughts on what's happened? Did you expect him to win?
There were 5 days ago, I thought he was going to win. In the last 5 days, Hillary's ground game was truly impressive beyond any measure of a doubt. It was very impressive in the last 5 days. And I had lost some hope in the last 5 days. But a week ago, I thought he was absolutely going to win. You know, there's just moments with campaigns where, you know, everyone around you, smart people are telling you, people you respect, like, no, he has no chance. And then, lo and behold, you know, the polls are wrong. The experts are wrong yet again, time and time again. And it is the most gratifying thing when you know something in your heart is true and you feel something. You know, you can put your ear to the rails and you can feel the train coming, and you knew it was there the whole time.
What about Ryan, just in terms of what Alex in studio has said here, that he didn't really expect to win? None of them did. So now there might not be that many plans for the future. Now they are or will be in office.
Oh, that's absolute nonsense. He has no idea what he's talking about whatsoever.
Thank you, Ryan. Good morning to you, too.
Good morning to you, too. No, that's absolutely nonsense. So Trump didn't only win. Trump won the United States Senate is Republican. The United States House is Republican. For the biggest majority ever of Republican governors in history, they have a majority of state legislatures, and they're going to get a new Supreme Court justice. No. This is the biggest Republican Party since 1924. It wasn't just a victory. This was a landslide. This really was a movement. And Trump laid out weeks ago his first 100 days, his hands on teams, plans on organization. I do believe that there are going to be certain people really pushing legislation. I think Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama is going to have almost all of his legislation pushed to the forefront of the agenda. I think that Obamacare is dead. It's gone. There's no shot of them keeping it at this point. And because the worse than just 2016, 2018 in the Senate, Democrats have to protect 28 Senate seats in mostly red states. So,
Brian, one of the things people will be asking this morning is, can a man with very little, if not any, political background actually make a good president?
Dwight Eisenhower was a good president. He had no political experience whatsoever.
So you don't think that will make any difference, and perhaps that wasn't in the back of people's minds when they were voting?
Well, okay, Dwight Eisenhower was a great president. He had no political experience whatsoever.
But the difference between Donald Trump and Eisenhower. Eisenhower had a full party machine behind him and a very clear platform when he went into the election. My worry, and just as an outsider in all of this, I know you say that Trump seems to have some sort of agenda and his very clear program of what he's going to do in the first 100 days, although I'm not quite sure how you just get rid of Obamacare that quickly. But I'm not sure, and it certainly didn't come across in his acceptance speech, other than we'll all love each other and nations will love us, we'll all be good to each other. There's no real sign of what his agenda was.
As an American who's been paying attention to this election, I can tell you he's been handing out policy speech on everything from education to student loan debt to health care. He's had tons of policy speeches throughout the campaign. This was not a time for a policy speech. This is a time to thank your supporters and try to bring the country together. He was presidential beyond belief. And the truth is that Paul Ryan and the House Republicans and Donald Trump probably agree on 75% of the issues. And those 75% are going to get greenlit, and they're going to proceed to the House and the Senate. A Supreme Court justice, Trump has already laid out the plans of who's going to be Supreme Court justice. And then they're going to get into the sticky matters, trade, foreign policy, and immigration.
Okay, Ryan, stay there for just a second. I want to get your thoughts at home this morning. 030-30-80-55-55. David, good morning.
Good morning, Vincent.
Go ahead.
I'm very glad to see Donald Trump has won the election in the United States and got the presidency, because he's the right man for the job. He has been accused of being a racist. He's been accused of being xenophobic. He has been accused of being sexist. Now, does that make all the people that voted for Donald Trump the same?
Well, that's an interesting question, Alex, because he has come under a lot of criticism throughout this campaign. It's quite a heated campaign, and some people might question why certain, say, minorities have voted for him, given what he's been accused of in the past.
I was going to say that's an interesting question, because what seems to have happened with Trump, somebody described it last night as he gathered, what Hillary's tried to do is gather a coalition of the insulted to move against him. But you're quite right, for someone who was supposed to have all these very negative attributes, he still managed to rally almost 60 million people.
Hispanics voted for Trump even though he said Mexicans were rapists and brought drugs into America.
Yes, more Latinos voted for Trump yesterday than voted for Romney 4 years ago.
Because you would have been a lot of people would have made the assumption that because of that, that they would, Hillary was a sure win for their vote.
I think the trouble with Hillary, and if just moving it slightly away from Trump in this case, Ryan, I think, or Vinny, she just didn't coalesce. The damage done to her, oddly enough, wasn't so much done by Trump. It was the fact that in the states where Bernie Sanders had done well, an awful lot of people who turned out for Obama 4 years ago and 8 years ago didn't bother turning out for her this time.
David, are you concerned, or what do you think this will have in terms of an effect on the relations from America and us here?
Well, I'm glad to see now Theresa May is Prime Minister of Great Britain. David Cameron was a spineless goon. The negative comments that he made about Donald Trump, I'm sure he's cringing down his porridge this morning. I'm actually glad that he's not the Prime Minister. It will have a positive input for this country now that we, the people of Great Britain, are leaving the European Union. We can move forward. We can have trade deals with America. We are free then to do trade deals with everybody else. But
okay.
One point, Vinny.
Very quickly, David.
What lost Hillary Clinton the election was the skeletons in Bill Clinton's closet. The American people never forgot Monica Lewinsky's semen-stained dress.
Okay, David, that's quite a lot for this time of the morning. Ryan, just before we let you go, because I know you have been up all night and it's quite late where you are, do you think when in terms of Clinton and Hillary, she lost it when the FBI announced this second investigation around her emails?
No, she was losing in the polls before that, weeks before that, actually. There were several things. The Obamacare premiums in America, premiums for health care increased 22%. In some swing states, they increased over 100%. It was causing fury all over the internet, where people were posting how they had to pay $500, you know, 1 month, and then $1,700 the next month for health insurance. So that certainly hurt her because she couldn't walk away from the president. And the fact of the matter is that she was never an excitable candidate. She never rallied people around her. You know, Trump won more millennials, more Hispanics, more Asians, and more blacks than Mitt Romney did.
All right, Ryan, we'll leave it there with yourself. Thank you very much. That's Ryan Gerdersky from America talking to us this morning. Let's get some political reaction from Naomi Long, the leader of the Alliance Party. And Naomi, did you stay up all night to watch?
I didn't stay up all night. I knew probably around 3 a.m., that it wasn't going to be Hillary's night. And at that point, it kind of took a break until about 5 o'clock this morning. So I had a little bit of time out to get some sleep.
And your thoughts, were you surprised, first of all? Did you think that Hillary had it in the bag?
No, I didn't think she had it in the bag. In fact, I mean, I wished her well, and I hoped against hope that she would do it. But no, I didn't think she had it in the bag. And I was concerned, I think, actually, that we would end up with the result that in the end we got. Because all of the things that I think have been said about Donald Trump are actually true. And it is a disconcerting thing when someone with those personal qualities is the leader of the largest democracy in the free world and one of the most powerful countries. So that's a disturbing thing. But he now has a job to do. It's a very important job. And I think the first thing he has to do is find, well, we will see if he can, is be a unifier, because he not only has fought a hugely divisive and bitter campaign between the two candidates, which has split the country, but he is also not the leader of a united party in terms of the Republican Party. And whilst the Republicans may have control of Senate and Congress, he does not have their fulsome support. So it will be interesting to see, can he unite the party, and then can he unite the country? Because that's ultimately the job that a president has to try and take forward.
Do you think, Naomi, there are people saying it's like an echo of Brexit? Do you feel that this morning? Some saying like a backlash against the establishment.
Well, I've no doubt there's a backlash against the establishment. I think the fact that it was the name Clinton. I mean, one of your phone-in contributors just mentioned about Hillary was done for because of the kind of skeletons in Bill Clinton's closet. And I think to some degree that idea that you could have so many Bushes running for president, then so many Clintons, that turned people off. And I think that's a shame, because I think in her own right, she would have made a great president. But I think people judged her on her husband's record. I think that's very difficult to get past. But I mean, we are where we are. I think that people made a choice for something different. The problem with a protest vote is that whilst it can be very gratifying in the immediate effect that it has, it can send out a message, if you like, to the establishment. The problem with the protest vote is that you're left with then a protest president. And what does a protest president look like in such an uncertain world? And this is where, really, I guess, we have to look and say, well, what will happen with Mike Pence? Will he be able to be the steadying influence, the political experience that will allow Donald Trump to perform the role for the next 4 years?
Do you think Pence might be the real man in control when he gets sworn in January, I think it is?
I have no idea how a Trump presidency will work, and I suspect that no one does. It is unprecedented, I have to say, for someone of his ilk to be in that office. It has not happened before. And so we now need to wait and see what happens. But I understand there was definitely an anti-establishment movement. You could see that with the rise of Bernie Sanders and others. And I think that benefited Donald Trump, despite the fact, and this is the bit that always gets me, Brexit was kind of touted as this kind of anti-establishment vote and voting for, but Trump is part of the American establishment. I mean, you know, be under no illusion, he is part of the Liberal metropolitan elite in the US, but has managed during this campaign by saying some fairly horrific things to paint himself as an outsider and to bring a lot of opprobrium on himself that I think made him look like an outsider. And the same kind of tactics actually were used when it came to Brexit. So I think we're in a different political discourse now than we were before. And I think that's something that's going to be a challenge in politics, not actually just in America and in the UK, but actually right across the world. We're looking to places like France and other places where elections are due and the impact that we could see with the rise of the right and lots of other things. And, you know, that's something I think that we should watch with concern and with caution. Well, and so I want to see how he develops as president. I want to see how he changes tone, if indeed he does change tone.
Well, there were some remarking this morning that his acceptance speech was quite gracious, you know, in terms of usually he's quite bulgy and grandstanding, where he was complimenting Hillary, thanking Hillary. I want to ask just before you go, Naomi, and I know it's very difficult, if possible at all, to predict this, but what do you think lies in store in terms of the US and Northern Ireland relations? Any changes?
Well, until now, I don't think he's had a particularly strong interest in Northern Ireland politics. He is, by his own definition in terms of his campaign, taking quite an isolationist approach in terms of the US. His relationships with Ireland in general could well be affected by how he deals with, for example, the undocumented Irish in America, which is a massive issue that needed to be addressed. So those will be tests. In terms of Northern Ireland, it's hard to know how that relationship will pan out. I suspect it won't be as close a relationship as we have enjoyed with some other presidents. But I also think to some degree we have been less involved directly, if you like, with presidents over the last number of years, and perhaps more involved with their envoys and other people who do understand the political situation here and are very much more so engaged.
Okay.
And I can't see that overall changing dramatically.
Naomi Long, thank you very much. Naomi Long, there, leader of the Alliance Party. Let's go to John Campbell, our economics and business editor in studio. Good morning to you, John.
Morning.
Your thoughts, once again, it's very difficult at this point to predict what impact this might have here.
Yeah, I don't think we should get, you know, too worried about what the first effects of a Donald Trump presidency are going to be in Northern Ireland.
Mm. Although, of the stock markets, the Asian ones have kind of dipped a bit. So,
yeah, but Northern Ireland, in the terms of this story, really, at a broad level, is a total irrelevancy.
Levels, yes.
Yes, at virtually all levels. So I think we should probably stick to big picture stuff. If we look at the thrust of what Donald Trump's economic policy was, it's really about protectionism. He was talking about bringing manufacturing jobs home to America, about cutting tax rates for American companies, about punishing companies who move jobs abroad. And I think we have to put this into the context of what's happening right across the world. So really, since about 1980, we've had this big globalisation movement. So what that's meant is that lots of countries have opened up to trade, they've opened up to people, they've opened up to money. So there's been all these flows around the world. And to a large extent, that has helped make the world a more prosperous place. But the outcomes of that haven't been evenly shared. So while it's been, say, very good for lots and lots of people in China who've better jobs and better standards of living, it's maybe not been so good for people who've been working in manufacturing in the United States who've seen their jobs move to Mexico or China. So there's been an impulse against that. And we can also see that world trade is slowing down. It had been growing, really, for the past 30 years. It's now pretty much stalled. So overall, we've got this movement away from globalisation and back towards protectionism, people looking inward to their own economies. And what Donald Trump really does is puts the tin hat on that. He is, you know, being made the most protectionist noise you've heard from any major politician in a generation. So he wants to basically unpick their trade deal they have with Mexico and Canada. He said there's no way he's going to sign the two big trade deals that he has on the table with the EU and with the Pacific Rim countries. He says he's going to complain to the World Trade Organization about China. He'll impose more tariffs on Chinese goods. So I think what we really need to look at is if there is this big protectionist impulse and other countries react, then you could get a slowdown in global trade, much more barriers to trade. And then we can bring it back to Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Because as a small economy, if we want to basically grow our prosperity, we need to sell stuff to other people elsewhere in the world. And if that becomes harder, then it becomes harder for us to do that export-led growth. So I think that's the big picture we need to look at. What happens to the whole global trading system, and then our little piece in that, how does it affect us? That's the really big issue for Donald Trump.
Yeah, and I guess when we look at Northern Ireland, as we all live here, we focus on it a lot more than perhaps the new president of the United States might.
I'd say so.
But just taken from what you've said there already, you could then make assumption that this may lead to less investment in Northern Ireland from the US, reduction in jobs, maybe even a return. Some of the huge companies that we have in Ireland, North and South, are American, so yeah, there could be that impact there.
The US is our biggest inward investor, both North and South, by a mile, actually. One of Donald Trump's main economic policies is to cut the corporation tax in America. So at the minute, companies in America pay a headline rate of 35% on their profits. He wants to cut that down to 15%. And it's obviously what the executive are aiming to do is to cut our corporation tax down to 12.5%. So again, what potentially, if he goes through with this tax cut, is to make it less attractive for American companies to move jobs to other places. Now, I don't think what you would see is that people would pull out. It would just be that when they come to make future investments, they think, well, we really need to be putting more resource into Europe, or can we just keep more of our business in the United States? That's probably a bigger issue for people in the Republic, because they tend to have, if you like, headquarters of US firms there who are there for the tax rate. So they've attracted a lot of what we call tax-sensitive investment, and so in the future that could reduce. And then you think, well, the reason that the executive is going to cut corporation tax is because we want to attract more foreign direct investment, more investors from places like the States. But if there's less reason for them to come here potentially if their tax rate is lower. But as I say, that would take a long time for that kind of thing to unfold. You're really looking at the impact it would have over a decade or more.
OK. Just before you finish, John, the markets are a bit jittery and have been since the news of who was likely to take the seat came through, as they were with Brexit. Is that to be expected? Is that normal? Is this linked because it's Trump?
I would say that the big thing for most people listening to this, the short-term movements of any markets are totally irrelevant to you, your life and your finances. So don't take too much notice of them. Yeah, you know, the gold will go up a bit, the yen will go up a bit, the dollar might go down a bit. It'll all kind of come out in the wash over the next couple of days. So never, ever look at short-term gyrations on the market. You're looking really at the long-term effects. So, for example, after Brexit, we can see that one big long-term effect on the markets is the weakening of the pound, which has a real effect on people's lives. So again, don't pay too much attention to the markets today. Look at the big picture stuff and how it might unfold over the longer term.
Okay, John Campbell, thank you very much. Alex, your thoughts on some of the things you've heard from John there?
Well, I think he's absolutely right about the protection, a protectionism angle of all of this. But I think linked into that with the Trump's whole thing about making America great again, it's just also a form of internal isolationism that he doesn't actually want. I'm not convinced, but fairly sure Trump is not interested in taking American business anywhere else. When he talks about making America great again, he's talking about all internal. He wants to give jobs to jobless Americans. He wants to give them this dream. The problem is, it's going to hit him fairly soon, Vinny. He has nothing to offer. And when I said right at the beginning, there are no hard policies in all of this, he has no idea what he's going to do. This notion you can just take 13 million people and say in 4 years, I'll give you all a job, build a highway, build this. What is it?
You heard Ryan earlier. Ryan said you didn't know what you were talking about, Alex.
Trillions of dollars worth of debt. And he has no idea what he's going to do.
Yeah, also, there's a couple of things. He said, well, his big tax cut is a plan. He says he's going to do loads of infrastructure spending, which will include building the wall, which would take, you know, hundreds of thousands of people to work on that over a long period of time to get the thing built. But it is, you know, ultimately will be quite difficult for him to deliver everything he has promised. But his focus is almost entirely domestic. Yes. That's what he's really interested in. So, infrastructure spending, everybody in the world talks about doing that. So that could potentially add jobs. The fact that if the dollar weakens, that makes their exports more competitive. So that could add manufacturing jobs. But there are kind of these huge structural changes which have happened to the world economy, which are going to be very difficult for one man and one administration to unpick.